morning. Good morning. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity, where we embrace the belief in our divine gift as co-creators with God. Oh, today we have a special pre-recorded interview with the author of Oneness, Rasha.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this.
Oh, thank you for coming in. Let me let everyone know who you are. Rasha is a modern-day spiritual messenger, and she is the author of the book Oneness. Oneness has become an underground spiritual classic. It's a book that's been gifted from friend to friend, and it has been spread by word of mouth all over the world. Rasha has worked as a courier of divine guidance for over 20 years. And in early 1998, she began this incredible dialogue with the universal presence known to her as Oneness, and the divinity that we all share and many people refer to as God. Word for word, she transcribed thousands of pages of the divine guidance of Oneness, and like a secretary, she was just taking dictation. The teachings of Oneness give us a whole new level of understanding of the mystery that we call life. This material is calibrated vibrationally. We're going to talk about that tonight. And to empower us and to help us to take a quantum leap into our own inner depths and totally transform our lives and our world. That is powerful. It's a powerful book. And Rasha, we have a lot to talk about tonight, don't we?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
I think we do.
You know, the first thing I'd like to ask you is, what happened in 1987?
Oh, my. Well, it kind of caught me off guard. I was sitting by a lake in Nashville, Tennessee, watching the most beautiful summer day. I was watching sailboats, sparkles on the water, just enjoying the moment and the way the light was reflecting on the ripples. And I think what happened to me was a spontaneous heart chakra opening. Mm-hmm. I later came to understand that that is the key to a divine connection, because the divinity we're seeking to connect with is through the heart. But in those days, I was completely unaware of that. Mm-hmm. So there I was. I was at a swim club. My little girl was in the pool. And I was watching the lake on the other side. And in that moment, I heard a voice. But it wasn't a voice. It was a thought. And it said, "I love you."
Oh.
And I startled. And I thought, my God, what was that? Because I knew it wasn't my thought. And it said, "I love you." And so I spontaneously began a conversation with this presence. I said, "Are you my higher self?" I said this quietly in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I got a reply. It said, "No, we are not you." And then I said, "Did I know you in a previous life?" And the answer was, "Yes." I thought, "Oh, my God." And then I said, "Well, when? When and where?" And it said, 1113 B.C. in Peloponnesia. And I thought, this is crazy. Well, I didn't even know where that was. But it turned out that this presence was the Hindu god Rama, who I had never even heard of before.
Wow.
And that divine presence went on to become my first real spiritual teacher. And after that, every night at midnight, the voice would come and say, "Get a pencil." I thought, well, okay. Get a pencil. And I sat on my porch. It was a Nashville summer night, and the teaching started. I started writing literally on a yellow legal pad with a pencil.
Mm.
And then reading it afterwards with tears streaming down my face, thinking, oh, my God, I never could have written that. what is this? Because wow. those were the days that I was just beginning to awaken spiritually. I had no foundation at all for any of what was written through this hand. And then eventually the suggestion came, well, why don't we do this on the typewriter? In those days, we didn't even have computers. At least I didn't have one.
Oh,
and so the progression went. We went from from a pencil to a typewriter and then ultimately directly onto a computer. But it was a long process.
Wow.
So that's how it happened. And it was nothing I ever sought. I didn't ask to be a channel, at least not consciously. They tell me in a previous life I volunteered for this, but I don't remember having done that. Nothing I was into at all. I was vaguely aware that such things were going on, mm-hmm. and I actually attended a channeling. I think it was of Archangel Michael at one point,
mm-hmm.
but that was the extent of my awareness of this phenomenon. And all I knew was when the voice came and I focused my attention on what I was perceiving, I can't say hearing, but perceiving,
mm-hmm.
The most extraordinary, loving, and beautiful thoughts were pouring through me. And I was just taking it down, writing it down word for word. So that's how it started. I didn't realize that what I was doing was the least bit unusual.
It felt very natural.
It felt very natural, like I had always done it, which apparently I had. I just didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that's a long answer for a short
No,
question.
Actually, I think...
1987.
I think you can't tell that story with a short answer. It's just too
Maybe.
Profound. So it took you 4 years to compile all of this material. And
the oneness material, yes, but that came much later.
Oh, okay.
That the oneness material came 10 years after that.
Wow.
In between, I graduated to working with a presence known to me as Amitabh, which is an aspect of Father Consciousness. They say an aspect is Lord Shiva, who was the source of the information in my first book, The Calling.
Mm-hmm.
And Amitabh was my real spiritual teacher, because all of my training came from within. I wasn't enrolled in any courses. I was not reading books. I surely didn't have a guru at that point,
mm-hmm.
or anything. The answers and the knowledge, the understandings, came from within myself. So Amitabh was responsible for that.
And wow.
By the time the book, The Calling, was published in 1998, I thought, okay, well, that's what I'm going to be doing. And immediately was told, well, you're not going to be working with Amitabh anymore. You're going to be working with a presence known as oneness. And I thought, no way. I wanted no part of it.
So, oh, my goodness.
Enough. But gradually, I was really taken so gently and gracefully into the process of communing with the presence of the magnitude of oneness, because this was a quantum leap from what I had done before.
Mm-hmm.
And vibrationally, it was like the mothership had come in. It was, oh my God.
Wow.
The presence was so powerful. And I worked with oneness for 6 months before the actual transcription started.
So did you physically have to go through changes, you know, to be able to handle that energy, that raise in your vibration?
I think it happened in a very natural way. I think as part of the process of opening to this information and opening to this presence, my own energy field was augmented in increments. But they did it so gently and so gracefully that I wasn't really impacted.
Mm-hmm.
But the training was intense. on how to do this responsibly, and all the lessons of discernment. How do you know what it is? How do you know if it's worth listening to?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know whether or not to give credence to what you're hearing? There's a whole field of understanding that I was given in order to be absolutely certain of the purity of what I was bringing forth. And that became a focus for me.
Wow.
Really putting blinders on and not letting anything else in but that, and being able to discern between levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so fascinating. My God. I look back on how I was prepared to do this. It's quite extraordinary.
Oh, my goodness. So, oneness, how would you define the energy of oneness? Are you comfortable saying that oneness is God?
I have no hesitation in saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Oneness is absolutely God. And then we would have to talk about our understanding of what is God and what is it that one connects with. Because I came to understand that God is not one thing. It's not a this and therefore not that. It is a vast, exponentially indefinable range of possibility of places where you can connect. So the level of oneness that was the source of the teachings in that book, for example, is not the same level of oneness that is the personal oneness that is who we are, each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Although in its essence it is oneness, it's not other than oneness that we are. It's just possibly not as augmented vibrationally in the way it manifests. So I can't say that I'm walking around as the full embodiment of all that is, even though oneness is in the forefront of my awareness at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different octave. And so when we talk about people connecting with their own divine essence, yes, you are going to connect with God, and you are going to experience yourself as that, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you are the full enchilada of God in a body. It's not that. It's a very interesting concept to ponder, the vastness of this and the different levels at which we can connect and experience that divinity. So I've been very blessed to have not only been guided through the understandings of this, but have been able to have a taste of it for myself and to know, not just believe, but know.
Wow.
That's the opportunity we all have.
Yes. When you talk about our divine essence, I'm trying to understand the aspects of oneness and our divine essence, because there are some aspects of oneness that are part of our divine essence. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That is who you are.
That is who we are, but we're not the full.
That is who you are. Okay, if you ask the drop of water from the ocean what it is, it can only answer that it is ocean. Its full essence is ocean. It doesn't mean that the drop is the whole ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It is of ocean. It is not other than ocean, but it doesn't have access to everything that other more complex variations on that theme might have at different dimensional levels, at different mm-hmm. vibrational levels. The awareness may be different. And so, as each of us rises and ascends into higher and higher levels of our own potential. We get to experience that. And it feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And the world we see looks different. The way people react to us and our experiences of life improve and are not the same as we rise vibrationally within the context of being in physical form. You're still in a body and you're still you. That's the most important thing to remember. Is no matter how far you go with the spiritual journey, you are still you. You're not going to drop your identity and turn into something else. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's you, but you're looking at it with a bigger vision, with a higher perspective, and a better quality of life.
Do you say that the teachings of oneness is calibrated vibrationally to empower us? What do you mean by that?
Oh, my. Well, judging from the thousands of emails I have gotten, there is a phenomenon that seems to happen when people read this book. I thought it was just me, but people are reporting when they read this book, not only do they feel something, but they start having experiences. It seems like, for whatever reason, people will read a chapter or two, and then they'll want to put the book down for a couple of days or a week or whatever. That gives them a period of time in which to create an experience of exactly what they just read. So they realize they're not just reading a book and understanding concepts with their minds. They're actually living this book, and the book is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And they are learning these principles experientially, not because they believe it, but because they know it,
mm-hmm.
because they've tasted it themselves. And there is something in this book, I'm told that there are encodements in this book that will facilitate people in having this kind of an experience of feeling a divine presence. A lot of people are using this book as you would use the I Ching. They're randomly opening the book
mm-hmm.
and just reading what's on that page. And for whatever reason, it's exactly what they need to hear in that moment. I cannot explain this to you. I don't know how this works. But it's, at this point, indisputable to me. Too many people have reported this happening. So I'm kind of amused. I think it's amazing that oneness is working with us in this way and giving us a tool of self-empowerment like this. And I was just the secretary that took it down. I'm not responsible for that book.
I'm very grateful that you were so open to take on such a huge challenge like this, and to be that's just a major commitment. It changed my life tremendously. I've been on the path for yes, most definitely, because it expanded my a consciousness and my awareness of that divine energy that you refer to as oneness. Mm-hmm. And that so much so that I feel that I could, I just feel that energy in me all the time. It's a much broader understanding of divinity than, you know, sitting mm-hmm. in church. A deeper understanding, and it shifted my values. What was important, what things that used to be important to me are not that important anymore. This relationship with oneness, with this divine energy, with this source energy, is the number one thing in my life now, and your book did. That's what it did for me.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It becomes the main thing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I never expected that. But what else could surpass this? Once you've been touched by this, and you're not touched mentally, you're touched in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens. You become like a flower that opens, and you recapture the innocence of a child, and you feel safe. That's the thing that really characterized it for me. For the first time in my life, I felt like I was safe in the arms of oneness.
Yeah.
Like I was being held. And even though my life was a roller coaster when all of this was going on, because just because you connect with oneness doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes it becomes more intense as you work through all of this. You're going through a metamorphosis and becoming the butterfly, really.
Mm-hmm.
You're turning into something that is you, but something that is beyond your wildest dreams. And that can be a little daunting when you're in the throes of it. And
yeah.
When life, as you know it, sometimes seems to be falling apart. And you're feeling sort of lost and abandoned, and what am I going to do? You have that anchor of oneness,
mm-hmm,
in the heart that you can go to merely by sometimes closing your eyes, as in meditation, focusing on your heart. And there are many different ways to get in tune with that, to touch into it. But once you're connected into it, it's like, ah, yes, I'm home.
It's relief. It is. You know, I walk through when I have little challenges and I'm walking through life, you know, and I may get a little anxious or apprehensive, you know, and then I will stop and say, I just need to trust. Let me take a deep breath and connect with that divine energy and just trust. And I never did that before. Yeah, I always focused on all the drama and stayed caught up in it. And now I let it go and I and just trust that my biggest line now is everything is in divine order. It's and but I truly mean it. It, you know?
Yeah.
I truly mean it.
It is, and it's a shift in orientation. You mentioned, you know, all the stuff that was going on outside. That's a focus of your attention external to source. That's on everything outside, out there.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us do focus our attention on our lives out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to connect with the spiritual, with the divinity within, it's like you turn the camera the other way. And your focus of your attention is on the inner world. That's when things start to happen.
Yes.
That's when your life starts to transform. Mm. So it's not a matter of just, you know, blocking it out and not paying attention. It's really reorienting yourself toward the divinity and, yes, trust that it's okay, mm, that you are safe, that you are in the arms of your beloved, and it's going to work out, probably not in the way you ever thought. if you had written down 20 years ago how you thought your life was going to go, chances are it's not going like that.
Not at all.
Not at all. And the thing is that suddenly you find you're letting that be okay. You're not making yourself wrong about it. You're saying, okay, this is how it is. Never mind how I was taught to believe it should be, because that's not how it is. It is like this. And there must be some deeper reason why it is going like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in retrospect, when you look back on some of the most profound dramas of your life, you see the divine logic in it, that you couldn't have gotten to where you then will be if you hadn't gone through the dramas you're going through. it purposeful. Trust that that is so, and that there's a reason why you're being challenged sometimes. To all of those folks out there listening to this who maybe are having a tough time, there's a reason. There's a profound and beautiful reason why you're being challenged to change things in a radical way now. Mm. Because what is coming is so wonderful. And in order for it to come about, we need to let go of our expectations of how it's supposed to be and open the door to how it is meant to be at a higher level. There was a beautiful quotation from the book, The Calling, when I was going through all of this myself. Amitabh wrote, before a skyscraper can be built, you have to level the ground. And that's, for many of us, what it takes to pave the way for a structure that is huge, for an aspect of you that is so big, that is so capable of making a difference in community, in the world, really making a difference at a level that you would want to be. In order to be able to become that version of you, you have to be willing to let go of an aspect of you who's been in the driver's seat a long time and maybe is ready for something bigger, more profound.
Throughout the book, one is just talking about, they talk about at this time, that there's something special about this particular time for our personal transformation. It almost has the sense that it's an unprecedented time for us to grow spiritually or to make a quantum leap in the ascension process. Am I understanding that correctly, or is there something that
Absolutely, you are. We are so lucky, when you think about it, to be in a physical body in these times and being on a spiritual journey, because hundreds of years back, it may have taken lifetimes to make the leaps in awareness and in consciousness that we can do in these times in just a matter of months or years. And the reason for that is because of the energy that is flooding this planet. Because everything is ascending, not just you and me and the people we know, but all of creation is ascending. Mm-hmm. Everything is going back toward oneness, is being inched up a notch for many. So we are being, I'd like to say, given a leg up on the ride. We're being given big advantage in being able to harness these energies and ride this wave and experience these higher levels of awareness that may not have been accessible to us in other periods of history. And in other times, for example, in order to become enlightened, quote-unquote, it was understood that you had to crawl into a cave in the Himalayas and be a renunciant and do a lot of austerities and really be out of the world. And it was an experience that happened to maybe one in millions that would have God contact like this at these levels. Now I am told that it is the birthright of all of us. If we want it, if we choose it, and if we have the courage to go for it, to let go, and never mind what everybody thinks about us, and if they think we've lost our minds, that's okay. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
It's just, this is an opportunity, and it's not required. It's you're in human form. What do you want to experience in this life? It's up for grabs. You choose.
You choose. And it is just that, just a choice.
So if at some point you say, no, I don't think I want this, you just make another choice.
No minus points for not doing this. But for those people who've had a big enough taste of the standard fare being offered in human form and you want to have a different kind of an experience as a human being, this is a viable possibility.
Mm.
And the book Oneness tells you how. How to do it. How to do it by yourself without going through a paint-by-numbers thing and being led by the hand like a sheep. This is something that you do your own way. That's the other thing about this book, Oneness. This is not a religion. And this is not how to do it, except to empower you to do it the way that feels right for you.
Mm.
So if you want to meditate, by all means do that. If you want to chant mantras, which I love to do, by the way, yeah, by all means do that. If you want to create a holy altar and put beautiful photographs or crystals or flowers or incense or whatever takes you into that magical heart space, yes, do that. Do that your own way. And this is not a substitute for going to church either. This is the personal side of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the God within you. You don't have to give up your cultural and family heritage in order to do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you supplement whatever feels right in terms of your family heritage with a very personal search that helps you to discover the God within you.
Mm.
And ultimately, all of it becomes one.
I love this statement that's in chapter 24. It's talking about the significance of the experience of duality. But it says we have a tendency to place God in an exalted position, and that we're worshiping God. And it says that the God within all life does not seek to be placed on a pedestal, but hopes to be discovered as the source of one's own essence. And then it goes on to say that the God to whom you pray and from whom you beg mercy or miracles is no more capable of manifesting the answer to your prayers than you are. But the only difference between you and God is that God knows it and you don't.
That's one of my favorite quotes from the book, by the way.
Is it really?
Yes, absolutely. I had a feeling that's where you were going with this when you mentioned chapter 24, because that is my favorite chapter. That really states it in a nutshell. Because what we're seeking is not the God who's out there somewhere like the big Wizard of Oz in the sky. That so many of us were taught as children that's what God was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that was out there, that was separate from us. That, you know, we prayed to, but they prayed to in a separate way. This is a different experience of that divinity. This is sourcing it within yourself,
mm-hmm.
and experiencing it ultimately as yourself. That's what there is to have.
Yeah, I know there's a line in this chapter, I can't find it right now, where it says that our whole purpose in this lifetime is to really not to just know God, but to experience God. And that just blew me away, to just be totally engulfed in the experience of that divinity. We're to transcend all of this earthly stuff, you know, all of the problems, and to experience that divine essence of who we are. I just love that.
That's the emphasis of the book Oneness.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's not about believing spiritual principles. There's enough books out there, and most of our listeners have read a lot of them, and
mm-hmm.
they understand all of these principles in theory. They could probably teach it at this point. So much has been written. But the opportunity is to be able to feel it, to know it, not just to believe it, because enough people have written it in books or enough workshops you've attended have told you so, but to know it from your own taste of it. And there comes a time where I tell people, close the book and close your eyes. That's what it takes. Go on the journey. Turn off the phone. Close the door. Put a do not disturb sign on the doorknob. And I mean, give it 10 minutes to start with, and then work up hopefully to longer, where it's just you and oneness. You and God, whatever you want to call it. I call it oneness. But this presence doesn't need a name. You know it's there. It is. It just is. And what you want to do is feel it. So you're not going to be able to feel that in the supermarket, driving the car, at the bus stop, or wherever else you may think that, well, we sure would be good to do this. You need to make time for this. Because, like you said, this is a relationship. This is the main relationship in your eye, in your life. And in your eyes, this is number one. So when you're in a relationship, it becomes a priority. You make time for it. It's not something that you do in between meetings and when there's nothing else pressing. This is something you do first. So you may want to give time to how you can schedule in personal time with oneness, be it daily or a couple of times a week or whatever, and make a commitment to do that, be it meditation or prayer or singing divine songs or whatever gets you into that groove. Make that a priority in your life, because this is the love of your life. This is your beloved. And when is he waiting? He's right there waiting for you to open that door.
Well, I think this is
good. Everyone to do that.
We're going to give everybody a moment to just breathe on that while we take a quick break and contemplate their connection with oneness. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And we're back. We're back. So, Rasha, when is your next book coming out?
Oh, that's the big question. It's scheduled to come out in the spring. I'm hoping end of April, beginning of May.
Okay.
But we will have another book.
Oh, and can you tell us, just give us a hint what this is about, this book is about?
I definitely can. It's called A Journey to Oneness, and in fact, it's my story. It's what happened to me, and all the trials and tribulations that I went through as a living illustration of this book. I guess I didn't realize at the time when, as I was transcribing the book, I was also having my daily conversations with oneness, and I would write down what was going on in my life, and I would get guidance, advice, sometimes profound teachings would come through, and I was just all taking it down, and then I turned the page, and the next day I do it again. So at the end of several years of this, I had about 3,000 pages written. I didn't even realize what I had done. And then I was told, well, by the way, this is going to be the basis of another book. Mm. And I thought, no way. Forget it. That's personal. I'm not sharing all that. But then in rereading it and arguing with oneness on this point, I came to realize that those teachings weren't just for me, not at all. It was for everybody. And so what I did was I wove together a tapestry of a story of what happened in the life of somebody who had the rug pulled out from under her, lost everything, discovered God, and went on this incredible journey of doing, by hook or by crook, all of the things that were outlined in the book Oneness, and what happened as I came to terms with the results of it, and how I integrated these understandings and put it into practice. I wove it all together. The voice of the narrator in this book tells what was happening. And then there are two other voices. There was the voice of Rasha way back then, who was talking to oneness, and the very best of the teachings that came in reply to all of that. So the book is 560 pages long. Hard to know where to cut it, but that was down from 3,000 pages of writings and divine guidance.
You know, what is amazing about your journey for me was the fact that you self-published these books. And I know that you're doing a fundraiser for this, the next book. And I wanted to be able to give people information if they would like to donate to your the publishing of this book, where they can go.
Well, what they can do, the Indiegogo campaign that you're referring to is actually finished.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not possible to contribute to this fundraising effort through that. But if you would like to write to me, the email is onenessmailbox@yahoo.com. And let me know if you're interested in making a contribution. And I can tell you how to go about doing that by check. You can still refer to the Indiegogo campaign and receive all the thank you gifts that are mentioned there. But we will just do it privately. And many, many people are doing that now because they just heard about it. And technically, that campaign is over. So you can't do it online. But you can do it by check and receive all the same gifts. So actually, the website for that campaign is Indiegogo, that's IndieGogo.com, and then /oneness-Rasha. And Rasha is R-A-S-H-A.
Okay.
So if you go there, you can see what this campaign was about. I am reaching out to the community to help me to raise the funds to publish this book, because it's a big book, and at this point there are so many thousands of people that are going to want copies. It's a major undertaking to produce a book like this
mm-hmm.
by yourself. So, and people have been so generous, Cynthia. My God, people have written and given the most beautiful gestures of gratitude and participation. I am completely blown away. So yes, if you feel guided to participate in that, yes, please contact me at onenessmailbox@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And I will tell you exactly how to do this.
And I will make sure that that is up on our website at circlesofprosperity.org, because we definitely, I know our listeners definitely want to support you. Your book has been a blessing to us, and I know this one will be one too. I don't know if I'm going to do a book study on this one, though.
I don't know. I should tell you, these perks are wonderful. There's all sorts of things available. Lots of books and nice things.
Oh, that's true. I did see the goodies up there. And also on your main website, which is www.onenesswebsite.com, you have quite a few free offerings there as well. I know that there are two email series in particular that you can sign up for, where you get an email. Is it once a day, daily, or once a week, once or twice a week?
No, it's not. There are two of them. The one with the photographs, called The Wisdom of Oneness Messages. That is like a one-sentence quotation. And that comes out maybe three times a week,
mm-hmm.
two or three times a week, and invites you to ponder it. They're beautiful. Lots of people print them out and put them on the fridge, just, you know, something to look at, to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most powerful quotes from the book. Then the second series is called A Moment of Oneness. That takes you a little deeper. That's a paragraph. And it's connected to the audiobook. So you can click on a link and actually hear my voice reading you the paragraph. You can close your eyes and use that as a one-minute meditation on a major teaching from the book. And that comes a little more often. I think it's about every other day. You would receive that in an email. And they're absolutely free. All you need to do is go to the website and sign up for it. You need to sign up for them separately. So if you sign up for the Wisdom of Oneness Messages, you will be on the main subscriber list, and you'll also get all the announcements. And occasionally, a special teaching from Oneness is sent out. All sorts of nice things come. And if you want to receive the audio series also, there's a place for you to click right on the website homepage.
Now, I will make sure I put... We'll have those links up on our website so that you can get to them at circlesofprosperity.org as well, so that you can go and sign up. Because to receive those in your those special quotations in your mailbox, they will come right at the perfect time, I'm sure, because that's how the universe...
It's uncanny. People are writing. It's like, how did you know that's what I needed to hear today?
Yeah. It's amazing. So we have a very special treat for our audience tonight, because also you have a CD of meditations. And tonight we're going to do the meditation to close out our interview with Rasha tonight. So you want to tell, we're using the one called A Place of Stillness Meditation. You want to tell us a little bit about how you came about doing this?
Yeah, these meditations, it comes from a CD called The Meditations of Oneness, A Journey to the Heart of the Divine Lover. So that tells you a bit about the flavor of this.
Mm.
This is a journey into the heart. So this series of meditations is calibrated to put you into the heart space. So you can choose one or two at a sitting and just put yourself in that mood, and then switch it off and go into the silence if you're doing meditation. and see what happens. You will get to a very different level with it. It's a beautiful, beautiful series. And the music on that CD is from Jim Oliver, who is a very well-known composer of meditation and healing music. He's from New Mexico.
Wow.
And he interpreted these words. The words are the words of oneness, but not from the book. This doesn't appear anywhere else.
Oh.
This is, were teachings that I transcribed as part of the personal guidance that was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Much more recently.
Oh, wow. Well.
So, it's a beautiful journey that you can give yourself. And also, if you'd like to have a copy of it, it's available as a digital download, as well as a CD. And if you go to the website, you can click on a link that will take you there.
All righty. So we're going to go ahead and start this meditation. And I want everyone to just get in a very comfortable chair. Or if you're laying down, lay down. And just close your eyes and be prepared to experience a place of stillness.
Breathe slow and deep, and let this moment of nowness engulf your senses once more. Allow all the cares and concerns, all that's been carried forth from the world of the material, to melt into the periphery of your awareness now. There is no need for the imagery of the material illusion in this place. This place of stillness beckons to you with a vista of a different nature. Here there are no deadlines to be met, no goals to be reached, no challenges to be overcome. Here there are no regrets, no remorse for scenes that might be played differently, if only you could roll back the clock. Here in the realm of the timeless, that past and all the attitudes and judgments you've carried with it are suspended. Set down the burden, if only for this moment. Set aside the striving, the yearning, the unfulfilled longing, just for now. Let it go. Let it all go, and simply be still. Breathe. Take this moment, this indescribable moment of wonder, this now, and simply be within its embrace. Just breathe. There is nothing at all that needs to be accomplished in this moment. No lists, no reminders, no logistics, just you. You and the infinite stillness This is oneness. We have come to this moment together to encounter ourself, to share the touch of the timeless. We are here to remember together what has never been forgotten. We are here to remember what is carried silently within. These memories are not within the mind, but glow within the heart of all of us. We awaken together to the feeling of this silent knowing. We reach out in a moment of pure surrender to touch and be touched, to give and to receive, to love, to be loved, and to be loved. Here, in the embrace of the infinite stillness, this simple truth awaits you. It is a knowingness that goes unspoken. It is felt. It will not be understood. It can only be known. Here we encounter the precious truth harbored within the depths of each of us. The simple truth that unites us all in a breath of oneness. We are that oneness. We are the dance of the ages coming to fruition in this moment of stillness. We are the song unsung, the unwritten symphony, the melody and the harmony that re-echoes within the heart and soul of every being. We are the answer to the questions that words cannot touch, the answer to the prayers that go unspoken, prayers that are known and felt in the timeless depths of memory. We are the longing to return to the source of our beginnings with your every nuance, your every shadow, your every dream intact. We have nudged you and tapped you ever so gently. We have prodded you to awaken from the waking sleep of mundane existence. We have whispered to you in the inner recesses of dream state, awaken. For for it is you who holds the answers, not merely the questions. You hold the key to eternity. You hold it all within the silent depths of now. Breathe slow and deep, and allow yourself to open. Open like a shy flower to the joyous reunion that awaits in this garden of delight. We are the warmth of the morning sun that glistens upon you in celebration of this day of newness. And we are the sweet fragrance within you that greets us in reply. We are the sacred essence within your own very depths. The secret knowing of life itself, waiting patiently for this moment of oneness with you. That indescribable glow silently shimmering within your heart center in this moment is not the product of your imagination. It is so very real. You have not dreamed this feeling of oneness with your own sacred self. You have simply remembered it. You have retrieved it. You have retrieved the touch of this love from the realm of the timeless. You have reactivated the compass within that points the way. Here in the stillness, you have touched it. A fleeting moment of wholeness, the unmistakable touch of divine connectedness, the touch of the love you silently yearn for. This is a moment of oneness. Who you really are. Breathe slow and deep, and let us simply be here together in this precious moment of now.
Oh, well, that is an awesome meditation, Rasha. Thank you so much. We have truly enjoyed having you visiting us here at Circles of Prosperity. You think you'll come back again when your new book comes out in the spring?
I would love it if you invite me.
I will
definitely come back.
I know that you're not stateside. A lot of our listeners may not know that you actually live in India now.
Yes, I do.
So, but we will.
Which
we
is a different planet. Completely different planet. But I do have my children and my grandchildren here.
Mm-hmm.
So I do come back to the States. And, of course, in the spring I'm going to be launching the new book. So I definitely will be back in the United States then.
Well, I hope you come back to visit us and share that wonderful moment of launching this new book. And I promise I will definitely include it on our list for our book study. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for just your dedication to the wonderful work that you do. And we look forward to having you back.
Thank you for all that you are doing to share this message and other divine messages with your community.
Thank you.
I am so grateful that you included me in that.
Thank you.